Good evening. After you've marked number 421 with your string marker, if you'd like, turn to number 59. We're going to take a look at Break Thou the Bread of Life this evening and look at that in some detail. Have you ever wondered about that song, Break Thou the Bread of Life? What is it talking about? What is the bread of life? We know it's the bread that we're asking the Lord to break. What is it? Is it the bread of the Lord's Supper? Is it some other literal bread? Certainly, if we're going to worship in spirit and in truth, we need to understand what it is that we're singing. And so we are going to look at this song tonight and the scripture passages to which it obviously alludes, and we'll do that in some detail. As we do so, we'll mention first of all that Mary Artemisia Lathbury wrote this song in the year 1877. She was 37 years old at that time. Born in New York, educated in Massachusetts, worked mostly in New York, and then died in New Jersey. But during her 62-year life, she wrote about 60 hymns. Only two of those gained popularity, and both of them are in our hymnals. It's the one that we'll look at tonight, and then the other one is number 119, Day is Dying in the West. And maybe sometime we'll look at that one, but tonight we're going to look at number 59, Break Thou the Bread of Life. Breaking the bread of life is compared in this song to Jesus breaking bread at other times. The first verse, as thou didst break the loaves beside the sea. And then in the second verse, as thou didst bless the bread by Galilee. And so most likely those would be references to the feeding of the 5,000 in John chapter 6, about the first 14 verses or so, and the feeding of the 4,000 later on in Matthew chapter 14 and Mark chapter 8. You'll find those events taking place. Now both of those events took place near the Sea of Galilee. So beside the sea and by Galilee, that's what that is all about. And so after Jesus had fed the 5,000, there's quite a multitude that was following him around, and Jesus said that the reason they were doing that was because they wanted to be fed again. And so he told them instead, he challenged them. And they challenged him, by the way, to do a miracle that would surpass the manna in the wilderness that their ancestors had eaten after Moses brought them out of Egyptian bondage. So they challenged him, what are you going to do that's greater than that? You say you're greater than Moses, so let's see you do a miracle that's greater than the manna. Well, Jesus, of course, taught them about a different kind of bread. And it's the kind of bread that we're going to be looking at this evening with this song, Break Thou the Bread of Life. The bread of life is something different and indeed superior to the manna in the wilderness, though they perhaps would not recognize it as such. The fact is, it is far superior, infinitely superior to mere physical bread, even though it was miraculously supplied there in the wilderness. John chapter 6, verse 35, and one of the magnificent I am statements of Jesus, I am the bread of life. Jesus had a number of those I am statements, particularly in the Gospel of John. We may just take a look at those in series one of these years, but not today. We'll save that for another time, but it's one of those I am statements that he made, particularly in John's gospel. The bread of life, of course, in contrast to the manna which their ancestors ate in the wilderness. He said in John 6, verse 49, they ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. Now, I'm going to give you, Jesus told them, bread to eat. I can give you bread that you will eat and never die. Well, that kind of reminds me a little bit of the woman at the well. You know, I'm going to give you the water of life. If you knew who I was, you'd ask for living water. And you'd never thirst again. The woman's thinking, yes, that sounds good to me. I don't have to come out here and draw water anymore. And of course, she missed the point entirely. Jesus is looking at a spiritual water there, just as he's looking here at not a kind of bread that you actually consume with your mouth, but a spiritual kind of bread, the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He said, the bread that I give, John chapter 6, verses 51 and 53, is my flesh. You must eat my flesh and drink my blood. And there again, people look at that passage, John 6, one of the most misunderstood passages perhaps in the entire New Testament. People look at that and think, literal flesh, literal blood. We even have a very common religion among us that says, when the priest pronounces five Latin words over the bread, it miraculously becomes the literal physical body of Jesus. And the wine becomes his literal physical blood. And of course, that is not true. When Jesus made that clear, when he said that the words that I speak to you are spirit and are life, that took care of that problem. But anyway, the bread of life contrasted then to the manna that the fathers, the ancestors, ate in the wilderness, and they died. So Jesus says, unless you eat my flesh, you will have no life in you. Well, he's not talking about literally eating his flesh, and he's not talking about the Lord's Supper there. He's talking about, again, his word. The words that I speak to you, verse 63 of John chapter 6. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So he's not talking about literal bread like the Lord's Supper or eating his literal flesh in some supernatural way where it literally becomes his flesh and the wine literally becomes his blood. He's not looking at that at all. We eat and drink Jesus when we devote ourselves to learning and doing his will. Think of this. Talk about maybe your child, be it a son or a daughter. Well, my son eats, drinks, and sleeps football. Well, do we mean he grabs a football and starts chewing on it? Of course not. We know what that is. That's a metaphor. That means that seems to be what he is most interested in. He's following it. He's doing it all the time. He's interested in it. It's an important thing to him. And so it is when we eat and drink Jesus, we're devoting ourselves to learning and doing his will. And so break thou the bread of life is talking about the word of God. Nourishing us with and by his word. Just as he fed the multitudes with literal bread. Notice this second verse. Miss Lathbury's intent is seen in that second verse. Bless thou the truth, dear Lord, to me. As thou didst bless the loaves beside the sea. And so she is recognizing there that the bread of life is the truth. It's the word of God. Bless thou the truth, dear Lord. Not merely intellectual knowledge of this, his word, but notice there in that verse, it says, beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. That line used to bother me greatly because I thought it meant, well, the Bible isn't enough. I've got to have some better felt than told, spine-tingling, hair-raising experience of some kind. And I thought, now that's just not right. In fact, there are hymnals among us that have changed that in reworked in the hymnal songs of the church. It says, within the sacred page. And I think they had the same misunderstanding that I did. But I believe that I took that wrong in that verse. I think that was much ado about nothing. It's not saying the Bible isn't enough. It's saying that mere intellectual knowledge is not enough. You know, you can have scripture memorized. I've told you before about my experience doing prison ministry. And I've heard of inmates that perhaps were in solitary confinement, and solitary confinement will drive you nuts. And so they ask, well, give me something to read. And so they give them a Bible. Well, they can read and look in there and say, well, there's this many thousand verses in the Bible, and there's this many words, and such a word is used X number of times. And they can know all kinds of things about the Bible, but they never do believe and obey. And I think that's what the song is saying here, that beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. I want to know more than just intellectual knowledge. I want what that knowledge gives me in a relationship with God. And so I think that's what the song is getting at, and I don't have any problem singing, beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. And it goes on in the very next line, my spirit pants for thee, O living word. So yes, God's word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Then again, Jesus himself is the living word. In the beginning was the word, John chapter 1, verse 1. And so Jesus is the living word in a very, very real way. As we said, God's word, the Bible, the written word, is living and active, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. But Jesus, John 1, 1, is the living word. And once again, that's in direct contrast to the manna in the wilderness. The manna in the wilderness, they ate that, and okay, they subsisted on that for a while, and then what happened? They died, just like everyone else. And so it is that the living bread is different from that. Jesus gives the living bread where we may die physically, but we will not die in the spiritual sense of that term. So what's the result then of being nourished with the bread of life? Well, there's two things. Number one is freedom, and number two is peace. Notice the line in the song, then shall all bondage cease, all fetters fall. Well, that should make it clear that the song isn't dealing with the Lord's Supper. The first time I ever heard this song led, the song leader led it right before the Lord's Supper, thinking that's what it referred to, and all in good conscience, no doubt. But all bondage doesn't cease and fetters fall by observing the Lord's Supper. That's not the point at all. When we're nourished with the bread of life, we not only learn to trust and obey as Jesus trusted in his word, but then we are made free. What did Jesus say in John chapter 8, verse 32? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And his critics responded, what are you talking about? We've never been in bondage to any man. We don't need this kind of freedom. And Jesus said, no, the one who commits sin, present tense, ongoing action, is the slave of sin. But if the Son, S-O-N, Jesus, makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So then, he says, in the song says, then shall all bondage cease, and all fetters fall. And the last line then, and I shall find my peace, my all in all. What a wonderful thing. Our world isn't at peace, is it? And we've got a new war going on in the Middle East, and there are probably wars going on that we don't hear about in the headlines. Just wars and fightings and skirmishes here, there, and who knows where else. Do this sometime. Do an internet search and just say, where are wars going on in this world? You'll be surprised. It isn't just one or two places. We live in a world that is characterized by anything in the world but peace. So how are we going to have peace? Well, it's not going to depend on politics. It's going to depend on our relationship with God. So then I shall find my peace, my all in all. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And once again, that wouldn't be a reference to the Lord's Supper, precious and meaningful though that is. But without a relationship with Christ, we don't have peace. Think about it. We don't have peace, number one, with God. Our sin makes us enemies of God. In order to be at peace with God, we must have that sin forgiven. And that's what Jesus died to do, is to atone for our sins. And so we can have peace with God. Secondly, we can have peace within ourselves. Sin tears you up on the inside too, doesn't it? You don't like yourself when you know that you've done that which is against God's will. But when we're forgiven, we can be at peace with ourselves. We can know that we are right with God. We don't have to wonder. We can know. John says, I write these things to you that you may know that you have eternal life. Not so I can cross my fingers and cross my eyes and cross everything there is to cross and, oh, I hope, which isn't even a biblical definition of hope. But we can know that we're in a good relationship with God. So we can have peace with God, peace within ourselves, and then peace with others in as much as it's our responsibility to do so. As Paul mentioned in the book of Romans, in as much as depends on you, be at peace with all men. And again, that is not going to happen unless we're at peace with God and at peace with ourselves. So I shall find my peace, my all in all. So Break Thou the Bread of Life would be a pretty good song to sing before the sermon, wouldn't it? Because that's what we're trying to do when we preach the Word of God, is to break the bread of life, to provide the Word of God in its purest form and be faithfully committed to it, breaking the bread of life, which is indeed God's word. So what I want to know from you tonight is, do you have the freedom and the peace that this song talks about? All bondage shall cease and all fetters fall, and I shall find my peace, my all in all. If you're not at peace with God tonight, this time is especially for you, that you might respond to the Lord's invitation. If you need to put on Christ in baptism, we're ready to assist you with that. Or if as a child of God you've strayed, or you have some other spiritual need that is on your heart, we love you and we want to assist you in every possible way. And we invite you to come as we're standing and singing for your encouragement.